Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of The Illustrious Gentleman. It's a podcast co-hosted by comic book artist Scott Godleski and myself, comic book artist Ryan Cody. Scott is the co-creator and artist of Copperhead from Image Comics, as well as being an artist for DC Comics, currently wrapping up an arc on Young Justice. And I'm the colorist of the Image Comics series Family Tree, and I'm also slowly chipping away on my own book called The Ronin and the Shisa. It was a Kickstarter book. I'm really trying to crush some pages on that to get it out to everyone middle of this month, October 19th. But Copperhead and Family Tree are both available at all the best comic shops in the world and digitally on Comixology. So you can buy the trades of that and support our work if you'd like. Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram, TIG_show. All the past episodes are available, are linked and available at tigshow.com, or you can get them whatever big podcatcher sites you listen, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, iTunes is what Apple Podcasts is, but you can listen to it on iTunes as well. If you enjoy the show, leave a review, tell your friends, support the show at patreon.com/tigshow. Patrons get cool stuff like advance notice on show topics, ability to recommend show topics and show drinks. Sometimes we do happy hour hangouts with our patrons, and they can always watch video casts of the show several days early. For this week's Chaser episode, Scott's not here this week. He's a little under the weather. So he's been given strict orders directly from those of us here at the Northern Villa to get some bed rest. I'm recording this on a Friday night, so if anything happens between now and Monday, it's a big news weekend. If anything happens between now and when this is released on Monday, October 5th, don't hold anything against us if we missed anything that should have been chatted about. On to the show proper. This is normally where we talk about what we're drinking on this week's episode. I'm personally trying to lay off the carbs, so I am on a gin-based drink. It's a pomegranate seltzer water with gin and lime juice. I'm staying off the beer for the carb reasons. You know, I need to lose some weight. That's one thing that wasn't going the way I thought it should go, weight loss, as far as, you know, I was dieting and I was exercising and that works. But then on the weekends when I would have beers, everything would slide backwards. So I decided to cut out the carbs of beer. You know, some would say maybe you should just cut out the drinking. And that's good advice. That is good advice. But tonight I'm drinking pomegranate seltzer water with gin and lime juice. It's absolutely delicious. It tastes just like the pomegranate and lime. You don't really taste the gin except just a little hint of the floral aspect of the gin, which I like. And it's fantastic, but my mentally weak brain still wants a beer. I still want to chug a beer for some reason. And I think it's this damn Twitter thread that I'm on where everyone posts what they're drinking. And it just makes me want to crack a beer all the time. So maybe I should take a timeout from that Twitter thread as well. Ah, delicious. All right, so let's move on to TIG Talk segment, where Scott and I talk about comic books or TV or movies that we've recently watched over the last week. The only comic I picked up this week was the Giant Size X-Men number one tribute from Marvel. It was they basically recreated Giant Size X-Men number one with a different artist on each page using Len Wein's script and Dave Cockrum's original layouts. Some artists stuck closer to the original layouts than others. They did change a couple lines in the comic to make them more politically correct in today's environment. But for the most part, it was basically a redo of Giant Size X-Men number one, which reintroduced the X-Men after years of doing reprints and stuff like that. It's the issue where Wolverine joined. It introduced Storm, introduced Colossus, Nightcrawler. You know, all your favorite X-Men were introduced in Giant Size X-Men number one. I had a copy of this, not the original one, because my mom wouldn't buy me expensive comics as a kid. But Classic X-Men number one was just a reprint of Giant Size X-Men number one. So I've read this story many times, but this was a great kind of almost like an annual or like a tribute. It was great. So some of the key artists that I enjoyed were Kevin Nolan on pencils, inks, and colors on his page. Chris Somney and Matt Wilson had a great page. RB Silva and Jesus Arbertov and Pepe Larraz teamed up with Matthew Wilson on his page. And just pretty cool idea. Lots of fun stuff. I highly recommend it. Check it out. It's a cool little thing they did. As far as TV stuff, you know, still, I'm mostly on sports, but I have watched a couple things over the last week. I'm currently plugging through The 100 on Netflix because there's 5 seasons of it, and it's good background work. Or sorry, it's good background noise to work to, I should say. I don't have to pay too much attention to it. It's got a lot of what I like, some like hard sci-fi, dystopian stuff, post-apocalyptical stuff. You know, the post-apocalyptical, the thing you work out on. So yeah, it's got all the elements of stuff I like. A little bit too much teenage drama to it, but that's who it's geared towards. So who am I to piss on their parade? But since Scott's not here, I feel like I could talk a little bit about my Premier League team, Everton. They're crushing it this season. Everton FC, go Toffees. 3-0 in the league and 3-0 in the EFL Cup as well. So 6-0 in all contests. And if you factor in the 2 friendlies at the beginning of the season, they're 7-0-1, so undefeated so far this season in all contests. It's an exciting start for the Blues. I'm pumped. I'm getting up early tomorrow morning. I'm recording this, and then I'm going straight to bed so I can get up early and watch the game live at 7 a.m. on a Saturday like a maniac. But yeah, it's an exciting start for the Blues. No one cares about that but me, but shout out to them. Let's move on to another show, though, also about British football. So last week, I think it was, or maybe 2 weeks ago, I ragged on Apple TV about being like a shitty platform, you know, on the user end. And it is. It's a terrible platform, user end wise. But Long Way Up is right up my alley. It's a show that I love, and it's a series that I've always loved. But last week, we were looking for something to watch, and I figure I'm paying for this stupid service, I might as well see what else they have. And I had heard about Ted Lasso, which is a Jason Sudeikis starring sitcom. So I said, let's try that. It's co-created by Bill Lawrence, who also created one of my favorite comedies, Scrubs, a comedy with like a good central, like has a good heart to it, like goodness in the show. So I always liked Scrubs, so we gave it a shot. And whether you know anything about European football or not, the show is just an absolute classic. It's so good. Jason Sudeikis is so good in it. The whole cast is great in it. It's so like so heartwarming, especially in a year like this, in a couple years that we've had leading up to the news from today. It's just, it's crazy how much I didn't know I needed a show that was just all uplifting and all smiles and all heart. So I couldn't recommend it more. It's quickly jumped into like my top 10 favorite shows. And I haven't watched the season finale yet. I'm waiting to when I hook up with my wife down in the south region of the state before doing that, because, you know, we don't watch shows without one another. We're codependent like that. So, but yeah, just a great, great show. And when I tweeted it out last weekend that I loved it, Jason Sudeikis liked my tweet on Twitter. So put that in your fucking peace pipe and smoke it. So yeah, that's kind of just the TV stuff I've been into. Like I said, mostly sports, F1, Premier League football, you know, hockey's over. So, you know, I'm grasping for straws at this point, but all of those, you know, and MMA, but all those are still better than baseball. So whatever. So I put out a call hour or so ago for a couple questions. And, you know, if anyone had any questions for me for this week's short episode. And right off the bat, good guy, always dependable, Russell McDowell chimed in with a question. Actually chimed in with a couple questions, but the other questions we're going to save for another episode, maybe a Halloween-themed episode or a horror-themed episode. But here's a good one. And this was brought on by Inktober, which a lot of people are doing Inktober. Some people are doing other Tobers, I guess you would call them. Inktober is kind of problematic, depending on if you pay close attention. But yeah, there's some problems with Inktober, so a lot of people are, you know, mixing it up, doing their own thing. Chris Somney's doing Bat-tober, which... always amazing work by Chris. But here's Russell's question. What are some of your favorite inking tools, and who are some of your favorite inkers? Great question. I don't think we talk enough about inking on the show. Most guys ink themselves. Again, Chris Somney is probably one of my favorite modern inkers, but he inks himself. Becky Cloonan's an amazing inker. She inks herself. The role of inker as defined is kind of being rolled into pencil inker artist. But I ink pretty much, personally, I ink pretty much everything digitally now. But there are a couple digital brushes made by Kyle Webster that I really like. And I use the 22-inch Hueon and a Microsoft Surface Pro, and I ink in Photoshop. I always ink in Photoshop. As far as traditional inking goes, I'm a huge fan of the Pentel Pocket Brush. It's refillable and it fits well in my tiny little T-Rex hands. They make these watercolor, like one-hitter quitter brushes, the Pentel does, and those are nice too, but they're much bigger. So I like the smaller Pentel Pocket Brush. It looks a little nicer. It's real easy to buy cartridges for. It's just real easy to use. I also like the Zebra brushes. They're single-use brushes, but they work well, and they mimic like a nib or a small brush. I recommend those as well. My nibs of choice, when I'm actually inking with a proper nib, my nibs of choice are Deleter Manga nibs, usually a G-pen or a mapping point, they sometimes call it. But yeah, Deleter nibs are the best nibs. I mean, that's the nib that the story that we tell on the podcast, we've told it several times, but when Todd McFarlane showed up to a drink and draw with all of us and with Eric Larson and Eric Canetti, he looked at my Deleter nib that I was inking with and then picked it up and started inking a Eric Larson sketch. So it's a great nib. Jetpens.com is where I get all of these from. The Pentel Pocket Brush, you can get it at a lot of art supply stores now. Zebra brushes, Deleter nibs, you pretty much got to get those online. Jetpens.com is a great resource for brush pens and Japanese nibs. I highly recommend it. And now that Russ has brought it up, I probably should put an order in for myself, as I have a bunch of commissions coming up that I have to do as part of the Kickstarter rewards. As far as my favorite inkers, hands down, my favorite inker of all time is Dan Green. He inked Mark Silvestri. He inked, I want to say he might have inked Paul Smith. I don't know how long he inked Uncanny X-Men, but I know for sure he inked Mark Silvestri. So the Mark Silvestri-Dan Green duo on Uncanny X-Men is one of the best penciler inker teams I've ever seen in my life. So Dan Green, and then you have, like, you know, of course, Scott Williams, who really ushered in an entire new generation and style of inking with him and Jim Lee hooked up in like the late 80s. But you know, there's tons of good inkers, but honestly, it's hard for me to tell. Just if I just saw someone's ink work and didn't know, it'd be hard for me to point out like who inked that page, unless it's like a Scott Williams, or like a late 80s, early 90s Dan Green. I figure I could pick out. Dan Green might have inked John Romita Jr.'s pages on Uncanny too, maybe a couple of them. I'm not sure. Let's see. But yeah, those are some of my favorite inkers. But like, again, like I said, most people that ink now that I really like their inking style, they're usually penciler inker combos. Let's see. Janimal, Jan the Man, asked, what are my three best soups? Now, that's a good question because it's starting to get cold up here in the Northern Villa at night. And soups are about to go back on the menu. You know, I made one last week. Pretty good. So I make some pretty decent soups. I don't, you know, outside of like a good ramen or like Okinawan soba or something, I don't go for like store-bought or restaurant soups. I make a pretty good basic chicken soup myself from scratch. So I get a whole chicken, like usually a fryer, so they're smaller. You know, I boil the shit out of it and throw a bunch of shit in it when I'm boiling it. You know, onion, carrot, whatever leftover greens I have, anything, just throw everything in that pot and then boil the shit out of it. And then you take the stock, strain it. So you take the stock, you pull off the chicken meat. I pull it off in huge chunks. And then I throw in some carrots, some celery, some basil, and whatever assorted spices, you know, whatever I have laying around that looks good. I just throw all that back in the crock pot for like another hour or so, and it's delicious. I mean, it's just stock, meat, and a couple of veggies and a little bit of seasoning. That's all you need if you have like fresh stock, and yeah, it's just delicious. It's the best. I also make a pretty good rip off of the Olive Garden kale, whatever the hell they call it, spicy Italian kale soup or something. It's pretty much as described. You know, you get some ground spicy Italian sausage, you get some kale, you get some heavy cream, and some chicken stock. It's pretty basic. It's pretty delicious, but it's also like super heavy. That's like a heavy soup. That's like, you know, when you're snow packed in, or you've been, you know, been hitting the slopes all day, or, you know, skate park all day, and you really need to put on some fat, you get that ground spicy Italian sausage, kale, and cream soup. And then if I'm going to eat canned soup, Jan, since you asked, I usually eat like a canned tomato with, then I throw a little basil in there. So canned tomato with basil, Always with a side of grilled cheese. It's classic. Can't go wrong with the grilled cheese and tomato soup. So great question, Jan. I really appreciate it. And so now, if anyone's still listening to me ramble on in the midnight hour like some weird AM radio jockey, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Patreon that we have, the Patreon for this show. It also supports, you know, random episodes of the other podcast that I do. I think it's called Unknown Adventures. I don't have it in front of my face. I'm a terrible person. But anyways, you get it on the Patreon first, and then the episodes come out. But Patreon always has videos. So if you're interested in watching, like, YouTube versions of the show, or, you know, basically if you want to watch me and Scott shoot the shit, Patreon is the way to go about that. Coming up soon, we might be putting more episodes up on YouTube for non-patrons, but that's a lot of work. Some weeks I'm not up for that, and they're always unedited, so the patrons always get unedited videos. So I'm going to explain now what we use the Patreon for. So if you're one of our patrons backers already, you know, thanks for listening, dude. You can go ahead and turn it off right now. If you're not a Patreon backer and you got a couple more minutes, you know, lend me your ears, friends, and let me talk to you a little bit about Patreon and what we use our Patreon for. So right now, the Patreon money just goes to reimburse basically our beer habit. It's not a large enough amount yet to pay for like an upgraded, you know, Zoom account or Streamlabs account, which is one of the goals, to get better video quality. But with the upgraded account, we can do better video stream, have more guests on, you know, maybe travel a little more. Like maybe it'd be easier to do some road trips to breweries if, you know, everything wasn't out of pocket. It's, you know, so yeah, we basically use the Patreon to provide for the show. And basically at this point, it just kind of reimburses me for my beer money. And then occasionally I cut Scott in on some of that, but you know, I do all the work, so. What are the benefits of being a patron, one might ask? Someone might walk up to me on the street one day and be like, hey man, what do I get if I'm a patron of TIGshow.com? The Illustrious Gentleman Podcast. So I tell them, as soon as you subscribe to any of our tiers, you instantly get access to the entire back catalog of Patreon-only posts. So in the future, as more specific tier-related content becomes available, you'll have access to everything in that tier. For example, we might switch up the happy hour to make it available at a certain tier. So maybe $5 and up. So if you want to be a happy hour patron, you'd have to, you know, go at that point. Maybe behind the scenes artwork and comic stuff might only be available to 5 and up patrons, etc. At this time, we currently have 4 total tiers. $1 through $4 is our thank you tier. Basically, thanks, we appreciate it. You know, every little bit helps. $5 is our base tier. The $10 tier is kind of like gives you a shout out once a month. So it's like a buy us a round. So for $10, you can essentially buy us a round for that show, you know, and, you know, so you buy us a round, we'll give you a shout out on the podcast or on the podcast. We'll promote your social media and, you know, whatever you want, get something promoted. You have a Kickstarter going, or you have a raffle going, or whatever, you're adopting puppies and you want the world to know about it. Buy us a round, we'll give you a shout out once a month. And if you wanted to get a shout out every week for that month, the $35 tier makes you a monthly sponsor. You get an ad read every episode. So pretty easy. Again, you can sign up just for 1 month if you have a Kickstarter running for that month and you want us to talk about it every week, etc. The $35 tier does that for you. I'm always open to hear, you know, because I handle the Patreon stuff. I'm always open to hear what kind of stuff you guys are interested in as far as tier rewards, you know, stickers, shot glasses, Patreon-only t-shirts, stuff like that. All that requires money up front, but I'm willing to invest in it if it's something I think that we have enough patrons for and it's something that it can, you know, kind of take off a little bit. Pardon me while I have a sip of my pomegranate gin. Also, we highly encourage patrons to send us messages with show topic ideas and booze recommendations. The hardest part about this podcast is just coming up with ideas of what to talk about every week. So if there's something that you guys want to hear us talk about, we're more than happy to do it. We don't talk about current creators. We don't talk about current companies. You know, we don't spread gossip. We're not that kind of show. We're both still working in the industry, and it just doesn't serve a purpose to sit there and like talk shit about somebody. So we don't talk shit about other creators, other comics, other publishers, but anything about the creative process, we're happy to talk about. A new TV show you guys are digging, maybe we've seen, we're happy to talk about that. But yeah, we love to hear what you guys are drinking, what's on your mind. I would love to have more interaction on the Patreon. So yeah, that's something I like a lot. So how easy is it to become a Patreon supporter, you might ask? People will be like, oh, I want to support the podcast, but it's so much work. All right, so you go to patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N.com, Patreon. Once logged in, you go to patreon.com, or once you have an account, you log in, you go to patreon.com/tigshow. From there, you select the tier that you want to support. You add your payment method and confirm your membership details. Once you, you know, review those details, you hit confirm. You'll be billed for the current month once you sign up, regardless of the date. Then you'll be billed again on the first of the month. So personally, if it's like the 20th of the month or the 23rd of the month, I would say just set a calendar reminder and sign up on the first. So you're not billed at the 23rd and then you're billed again a week later. So just keep that in mind. You build the minute you sign up, and then you'll be billed again on the first of every month after that. But yeah, we'd love to get more patrons going. We'd love to get more interaction going there. Obviously, the more we get monthly for the patron, the more I feel justified in spending the hours and hours every week of editing and doing all the bullshit I do to try to promote the podcast. But even if you're not a patron, even if you don't want to become a patron, if you've listened, it's annoying. But if you don't want to support the show that way, every shout out, every review, every retweet is just as lovely. We appreciate anyone who listens to the podcast. We appreciate all of you guys. And we'll be back next week, hopefully with a full-length episode. So thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week.